because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing. Right to self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous ones will not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All you buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when you'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made me.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all of the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Jim Tapp, coming to you live from Sterling County, Tennessee. And welcome to today's broadcast. I want to take this opportunity to welcome to the show once again, Miss Megan Barth. You, of course, know her from ReaganBabe.com. And she is a co-chair for Red Wave America PAC. Megan, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. And how are things going outside of the usual dealing with weather and other anomalies like the rest of the country?
Well, I think we're all trying to keep our head above water, including this president, and also trying to keep our sanity when we look at all of the crazed antics of the Democrats leading into the 2020 election. I thought the Wild West was nuts. I think actually the swamp has literally lost their mind.
Well, I think that's a fair statement. So let's start off talking about these efforts to sue Donald Trump in regards to the declaration of emergency and the border wall. We've got, 16 states so far, with a couple others still threatening to possibly join in?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple more Democrat states there that'll probably want to jump in, considering that every single one of the 16 states are all Democrat-controlled and most of them bankrupt. Imagine that. And so this initiative that was spearheaded by Xavier Becerra, out of California, the Attorney General of California basically created the domino effect needed to have Nevada and Washington and Oregon and Maryland and Illinois and Hawaii and all of the Democrat whiners on board in order to challenge the national emergency, which is occurring at our southern borders. I guess the Democrats didn't hear that there was basically warfare between one of the major cartels and the Mexican police right south of El Paso, and then over in Tijuana. Their crime is so bad, they're the murder capital of the world, and the only reason that San Diego isn't the murder capital of the world is because of the wall. And so we have Democrats like Xavier Becerra, who budget of California, 30% of it goes to the care, welfare, incarceration, education of illegal aliens. And so these 16 states, when you look at their illegal alien populations and the amount that they spend on illegal aliens, Illegal aliens are basically the Democrats' new not only voting bloc, but it gives them power because it creates dependency.
Right. Well, you know, this is a same old refrain that we've heard time and time again. They want us to be caring and compassionate, yet these folks seem to show no empathy whatsoever to the danger and harm's way that they put these children and women in as they advance through these caravans, or the U.S. citizens within the country who become victims of crimes and still tout false statistics about how illegals commit fewer crimes than citizens, when there's no way to accurately tell because they don't keep track of these crimes in the same way in sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. Do you see the American public getting wise to this, or are we still awash with people that are kind of just taking these people at face value and listening to what the mainstream media has to say?
Well, I think there's a growing population that's just simply, you know, listening to what the mainstream media has to say. I always call it the 30%. The 30% is always lost. But I think that there are a majority of Americans, especially when you look at the polls, no matter if they come from Gallup or Pew or Rasmussen or what have you, is that no one believes that we have a manufactured crisis at the border, even though that's what the Democrats are saying, because most of the people believe, even I believe close to a majority of overall voters and 46% of Democrats, if I'm correct in that those numbers, pretty close, want some sort of barrier, want some sort of wall. So a majority of likely voters wants a barrier, wants a wall. And a majority of Americans understand what illegal immigration is doing to their communities and cities. There aren't many cities around this country right now that hasn't suffered a death or a murder at the hands of an illegal alien. We just had 4 murders in 6 days committed by one 19-year-old illegal alien from El Salvador up in South Reno and Gardnerville here in Nevada. That one of their families was represented and given homage by President Trump, or paid respect by President Trump, at the State of the Union. And so as the illegal alien crime statistics seem to be spreading, and we have more and more evidence that we have dangerous people in the shadows that are living amongst us, I think what you are going to see is a backlash against this open border policy that the Democrats have embraced.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any question between blackface and socialism and partial birth abortion, and of course the very real, albeit long time ignored, crisis at the border. The modern Democratic Party, not that dissimilar from the old Democratic Party, is fully on display. I just hope people are paying as much attention as it seems like in the circles that I'm wandering in, and certainly with the folks that you're talking to.
Well, I'm just waiting for the Democrats to announce that there's an illegal alien month, you know, because really this is their new dependency class. How they celebrated Black History Month was beyond the pale. If we want to talk about Black History Month, I suggest we all look at the history of the Democrat Party and how they celebrated Black history. They enslaved a whole generation of people. Back in the days of slavery, they created the Ku Klux Klan. They created the Three Strikes Law, which imprisoned more Black males, left more fatherless homes behind, created a greater welfare state. Thank you, Bill Clinton. And we could just go on and on at how the Democrats treated Black people in Black History Month. Then we've got to round out Black History Month by a fraud by the name of, no one knew his name until he decided to be a complete hoaxer and huckster, Jussie Smollett, a gay Black guy, adding to the list of how Democrats treat other people, especially Blacks.
Yeah, like I say, it's definitely a case where it's clear, it's on display, and it's just a matter of time now before more and more people start seeing through the falsehoods of the caring and compassionate Democratic Party. Megan, again, I want to thank you very much for your time this evening. I know you're going to have to be going, but before you do, please share the websites, and if you're still asking people to follow you on social media, share that as well.
Well, yeah, and the last point I'll make really quickly is that why we're seeing all this apoplectic behavior by the Democrats, and as they continue to go into more and more hysterics, it is because when you look at the polls, 50% of Hispanics, a 19-point jump, actually has a favorability of this president. It's hovering around 50%. It's hovering around, what, 28% or something with black males for this president. So as long as those numbers keep going up in the face of all of the baseless accusations of racism levied against this president, the Democrats have a uphill battle as we continue to climb with these demographics that the Democrats normally can control. So this election will be about illegal immigration. And I believe that will be the core win for the Trump presidency, amongst other things. But nonetheless, you can find my work at ReaganBabe.com. That's Reagan as in Ronald, Babe as in Ruth. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at those same handles, as well as Instagram, ReaganBabe.com.
All right, Megan, again, thank you very much. Appreciate everything. Keep the good work up. And join me with pushing the hashtag no migration without assimilation. I think this one will also help to Twitter active, keep the leftist in tune with what the real issue is. And thanks again, Megan. I look forward to getting to speak with you again soon.
Okay, thanks so much, Tim. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Miss Megan Barth. And, you know, it's indicative of exactly what we're seeing across the country. Let me go ahead and give the usual thanks to everybody hanging out. We've got Alaska COG, Kel the Infidel Fox, and Chief from Simple Facts hanging out in the chat room. I want to thank them for their patience. For those of you who are checking this out in the archives, you know, it's very unusual for me to start right out the gate with a guest. That's because usually I like to have a few moments to try and set the tone. Well, technical issues actually had me running about 15 minutes late. So a lot of patience for those folks that were waiting. And so thank you guys for being here. So that's that. I was listening to Kel's show, and then about the time she was just about to finish up, I had everything set. I was ready to get into the broadcast. And then the next thing I know, I just have a case where the power kind of surged and it knocked my computer off for just a second. So then it left me scrambling with just seconds before showtime to try to get everything back up and operational. To be honest, I'm very, very happy that it didn't take longer, because I've been in this situation before and it's taken nearly 30 minutes to get everything up and going. So it's just a brief thing and a fluke and a crazy, crazy thing. And honestly, as much as I was enjoying Kel's show earlier, I would not have traded it for the world. Hopefully I'll be able to sneak on close to that 15 minutes there towards the end of the broadcast. It does mean, however, that I'm not going to be able to get all the extra stories I was hoping to get to. It means I'll have to work back around. Now, for those of you who do normally listen to the show live, I do have a programming note upcoming. We have Victor Davis Hanson scheduled for March 12th. And the only way to accommodate him is if I start the show at 7. So that means I'm actually going to have to start while Kel is still on the air, and I'll be finishing up about the time she's done. So for those of you guys who usually listen on the 12th, I'm going to be on an hour earlier. Just check me out the archives. Stay with Kel's show. You probably will anyway. Just check out the archives. Should be available shortly after that. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk to Victor Davis Hanson, especially in regards with the new book coming out, The Trump. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. All right. So all kinds of crazy from the Democrats. And now readdressing an issue in the chat room. I see Vorpalbite has joined us as well. Hey, Vorp, glad to have you here. Kel says I'm bad luck. No, Kel, no, you're not. Now, Alaska COG, COG standing for Child of God, asked a legitimate question in the chat room when we were talking about whether or not the states actually are going to be able to have standing, because they have to be able to show that there's some kind of harm that's being done to them. Now, the baseline here is these states that are trying to sue are claiming that the funds that are being reallocated are going to negatively impact them, and that's their out. That is how they're going to claim, and some leftist judge probably in the Ninth Circuit Court of Monkeys, is going to give them standing based on that. So just expect it. But legitimately, harm is being prevented by putting our border back in its proper status, getting these physical barriers in place, doing the job that the federal government is actually supposed to do. So a very legitimate point, COG. You're dead on with the question. And, you know, I don't know what else to say other than that's just excuse me, that's just where we're at right now. All right. Now, stories in the show description for those of you who do check it out live. Came across this yesterday, and I'm still kind of steaming over it. So let me read the article, and then we'll move forward from there. The Nation of Islam's anti-Semitic leader, Louis Farrakhan, used his annual Savior's Day speech to defend Women's March leaders who forged a close relationship with this group. Of course, blaming all those evil, wicked Jews for attempting to drive a wedge between the Women's March and the leftist organizers, and for trying to break up the women's movement altogether. It's those termites that are trying to break up the women's movement. Now, I'm sorry, Louis, with all due respect, Mr. Farrakhan, sir. See, I can't even say that with a straight face. But at any rate, with all due respect, the Women's March has never adequately represented a women's movement, anti-Semitic from the beginning. And I'm sorry, but whether you like it or not, the majority of America does not subscribe to waiting for the mothership to finish killing off all the white folks so you'll finally be called home. And that's what Nation of Islam's religious spiritual aspects involved. They've got the mothership, and the mothership won't come and collect them until they have killed off every last white child on the planet. I mean, that is the agenda. That's the goal. Again, Louis Farrakhan admitted, all but admitted that they killed Malcolm X. Why? Well, because Malcolm X was all about revolution, and he still maintained conversations and discussions with Martin Luther King Jr. And, of course, MLK kept trying to convince him that it was through peaceful advancement that real change would happen. And Malcolm X would have none of it, and he'd have none of it until nearing the end of his time on this earth before he was murdered. He eventually started coming around to MLK's mindset. And it was because the Nation of Islam felt like Malcolm X had betrayed the cause in taking up the same mantle of peaceful revolution price. He turned his back on the nation, and the nation stabbed him in the back, quite literally. But at any rate, this is a man who is not peaceful. He's not calm. And again, Nation of Islam, for those of you who are lay people and don't understand, Nation of Islam is not the same thing as Islam. Now, they share some political agendas. So within the realm of the cobbled together legion of intersectionality, they'll share some space here in American and Western politics together. But at any rate, he doesn't seem to want to accept the fact that his anti-Semitism and the anti-Semitism of others can be easily spotted by people like you and me. And not just people like you and me, but also people like Hollywood leftists who don't want to be seen as being anti-Semitic, whether it's because they actually believe in tolerance and acceptance and inclusion, or because they're concerned that there's a lot of Jews in Hollywood that control the movie business. Yeah, I'm not sure which is their motivator, but the point being, and it doesn't matter what the motivator is, the point is that The majority of Americans do not subscribe to the notion that we're waiting for the mothership to come pick us up. The majority of Americans do not subscribe to the notion that you should be going around killing white babies. The majority of Americans also do not subscribe to the fact that you should hate the Jewish people just because they're Jewish people. You shouldn't hate them just because certain people like Louis Farrakhan wants to call them termites. And I see that's where the majority of Americans are. So when the majority of Americans learned that Tamika Mallory was a clear-cut and easily discernible anti-Semite, it became a telltale sign that the women's march did not equal a women's movement. It basically started out as nothing more than a temper tantrum that Donald Trump was elected anyway. However, the Nation of Islam hosted its annual national conference, Saviors Day, at the United Center in Chicago over this past weekend. And, of course, anti-Semitism was a priority among the attendees. Speakers tore into the Jewish people, accusing them of everything from owning the Federal Reserve to instituting sharecropping to inventing pedophilia. Pretty sure pedophilia existed before there was Jews in America. Pretty sure pedophilia existed outside of the Jewish community initially. In fact, pretty sure that pedophilia is a common practice in the lands where Sharia is the law of the land. Don't think it was invented by the Jewish people. Don't think they instituted sharecropping either. But anyway, I'll digress from there. Farrakhan reserved some of the sharpest anti-Semitic criticism for defending Women's March leader Tamika Mallory and, of course, her colleagues, whom he claims are victims of a conspiracy, saying, quote, "The most beautiful sight that I could lay eyes on was when I saw, the day after Trump was elected, women from all over the world were standing in solidarity, and a black woman theater of it." Now, of course, this is Farrakhan talking about Mallory. He continues saying, "The wicked Jews want to use me to break up women's movement. It ain't about Farrakhan. It's about women all over the world who have the power to change the world." Later on in the speech, Farrakhan asked his audience to, again, applaud my poor little sister, Tamika, and added two other women's march leaders, Linda Sasor and Carmen Perez, to his list of so-called victims. Tamika, Linda Sasor, Carmen Perez are sisters with the hashtag MeToo movement, Black Lives Matter. The women shook the world the day after President Trump was elected. The women organized, and all over the world, women rose up and men in government got shook. Because when women rise, change is going to come. So when they saw that Tamika had helped bring that about, they came after her. Now, nobody's 100% sure whether Mallory attended this year's Savior's Day. If she did, she stayed in the shadows behind the scenes. But last year, she certainly was sitting in the audience while Farrakhan called the Jewish people the spawns of Satan. Farrakhan acknowledged this year that he had honored Mallory during his speech in 2018. Mallory and her fellow Women's March leader, specifically Perez and Sasor, were accused last year of forging a close relationship between the Nation of Islam and the Women's March, including allowing the Nation of Islam to provide security for Women's March speakers for the events. Twin exposés on both the Tablet magazine and the New York Times revealed Mallory had made multiple anti-Semitic remarks to Jewish Women's March leaders and at some of the event's foundational meetings, and demanded that Jewish Women's March participants acknowledge their privilege and their role in black oppression, ideas Mallory clearly gleaned from Mr. Farrakhan himself. But when asked to distance themselves from the Nation of Islam over its overt anti-Semitism, both Mallory and, of course, Linda Sasor refused, saying only that they reject anti-Semitism, which we all know to be a lie at this point. But, of course, that's what they were saying at the time. But they never openly denounced the anti-Semitic hate preacher, Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Instead, both Mallory and Sasor, and especially Mallory, have repeatedly defended Farrakhan's, quote, contributions to minority communities. As a result, many Women's March branches have actually distanced themselves from the National Women's March until some change is made to address anti-Semitism within the march's ranks. The group's January event was sparsely attended, and in some cities like Chicago and New Orleans, official women's marches were canceled altogether, with organizers issuing statements acknowledging the national controversy and pledging to disconnect from the national movement for more community-focused activism. Now, to me, that was one of the smartest things that they could do, because activism needs to be set up locally. We had one women's march canceled because national leadership criticized that it wasn't inclusive enough, that it was nearly 70% white. Quit moving your head in the windstorm. You know, sound like Anderson Cooper. Evidently, we're still having some audio issues tonight, too. They said the audio is choppy. So hopefully for general purposes later with the audio, as it's processed later, hopefully that'll be taken care of. For those of you listening live, I apologize. I think it's probably weather related. I'm a long way off from the switchboard in New York. Chief's asking, if you move your head in a windstorm, you turn into a leftist shell. Evidently you can. Okay, so where was I at? Here's the bottom line as far as this is concerned. When you have anti-Semitism at the heart of what you're doing, it's going to show through. But like we've already discussed, when it comes to the coalition of the intersectionality, Jewish people are now officially a throwaway caste. They're no longer far enough valued in the point system that is the intersectionality. What's a good word here? I've used a good word for it before. And the intersectionality pyramid, you know, where the higher you go, the more you're worth. Well, unfortunately for these folks, the Jewish people have now officially entered the same level as all Caucasians. You know, that you're no longer, sorry, I'm chuckling. It's a conversation still going on in the chat room. You're no longer you don't matter to the intersectionality folks anymore, because they don't see you as being an oppressed people. I mean, I don't know, historically speaking, of a more oppressed people than the Jewish folks. But, you know, that's just me. What do I know? The sad thing is a lot of these folks that you're dealing with in the intersectionality, a lot of the folks that are in leadership positions with this so-called movement, they've never seen oppression. We literally deal with the first world problems of microaggressions. They've been convinced that they've been oppressed by someone else rather than actually experience oppression. Now, that's not to say that racism still isn't going on out there, but it is to say that there is a lot of occasions where racism is the instant go-to when there are a thousand other explanations for what's actually occurred. So anyway, came across it, kind of made me angry. I have a Gurkhan trying to blame the Jews simply because a large number of people are calling him and Tamika Mallory and Linda Sasor and Ms. Perez as well, as far as that's concerned, calling them out for what's obvious to the rest of the world. Now, I guess if you are an anti-Semite, you don't notice. If you are someone who just hates Jews because they're Jews, or people being an anti-Semite is okay with you. They're your kind of people, right? Which kind of leads us to this next. And it has a lot to do with the title of today's broadcast. Because, you see, on January 29th, there were two hate crimes that occurred. The media only covered the fake one. On January 29th of 2019, the Chicago police opened a hate crime investigation into the alleged assault of Empire actor Jesse Smollett. Smollett, who is, of course, black and gay and has been the talk of the town ever since, alleged that two men approached him at 2 a.m. in Chicago, where they shouted words I can't say and still be FCC compliant. But one is a derogatory for a homosexual, and the other is, of course, the dreaded N-word. So they shouted these words at them and supposedly tried to wrap a noose around his neck and then poured bleach on him. And he told TMZ that the men shouted, "This is MAGA country." Of course, you know, again, I'm going to remind everyone this was Chicago. Chicago. Rahm Emanuel country. Barack Hussein, Allahu Akbar, Obama country. Chicago press, right? Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeted out, "The racist homophobic attack on Smollett is an affront to our humanity," which, if it had happened, I would actually agree. Senator Spartacus Cory Booker called it a modern-day lynching, although really think that the news maybe makes it look like it was going in that direction. I probably wouldn't have used that language, but Kamala Harris was actually trying to push some kind of anti-lynching legislation at the time, all part of her attempt to want to be president. So maybe that was an attempt to look like he was on board with the anti-lynching litigation. We'll see. Congresswoman and fresh face of the Democratic Party, time to take two shots, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, slammed anyone who questioned the story, tweeting, "The attack was not possibly homophobic, but homophobic. It was racist and a homophobic attack." Basically, what she knew at the time. And again, I actually, unlike a lot of other people, I give these folks a little bit of cover in so much as they're all politicians. They're all expected to react quickly. And with the information they had at the time, most of them were not they weren't reacting in such a negative way. They were all reasonable reactions, is really. Now, the media, of course, ran with the story. Good Morning America hosted Smollett, where he maligned anyone who asked questions as a racist and a homophobe. CNN's Brooke Baldwin stated, "This is America in 2019. Celebrities, of course, parroted their support for Smollett, with every last one of them blaming the kicker of puppies and eater of babies, President Donald J. Trump. And a lot of them threw in Vice President Pence for good measure. Obviously, it's the Trump. The story was a hoax. We've established that now. It's been well established at this point. the story was a hoax, but that's the one the media ran with. It's the one that the politicians ran with. It's the one that the celebrities ran with. But you didn't hear about another hate crime that happened on the very same night. You see, that same night, a Jewish man in New York was beaten by three thugs. Nothing was stolen. And usually something that helps a story like this to become national headlines and even go viral, the attack was caught on video. Unless you happen to read the Jerusalem Post, the story received pretty much no attention. This isn't the only story of anti-Semitism in New York, not by a long shot. 2 weeks before the beating, a Jewish man, 19, was violently assaulted as he walked past a local laundromat by a group of teenage black males. In December, a 16-year-old Jewish teen spent a week in the hospital after being beaten by two other teens. Witnesses to that event said the teen screamed, "Kill the Jew." The NYPD categorized the attacks as gang-related rather than a hate crime, which, of course, that angered a lot of the Jewish folks in the area, and rightfully so. This weekend, vandals shattered the windows, the Shabbat in Brunswick, as the rabbi and his family were asleep inside. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we wanted to, the list could go on and on. In fact, according to NBC New York, they stated that the city has seen a sharp increase in reported hate crimes so far in 2019. The NYPD said police had investigated 42 hate crimes through February 4th, compared with 19 at the same point last year. Most of those were anti-Semitic. See, we keep hearing these stories about how the Islamic community is under attack in America and has been ever since 9/11. They're afraid to go out in public, yet I don't see them not. They're afraid to be seen in their hijabs, yet I don't see a shortage of hijabs being worn, nor do I see a shortage of American Muslim females feeling safe enough not to wear the hijab. But, you know, that's pretty safe considering it's their own fellow Muslims that would probably be the aggressors if they were to be assaulted. We keep hearing about that. We keep hearing from Black Lives Matter that police brutality is continuing to increase. Poor black men in these communities are constantly being assaulted. We're hearing how now anti-Latino sentiment is being kicked up because of the kicker of puppies and eaters of babies. But according to the stats that are being reported by law enforcement, it's not the black community, it's not the Hispanic community, it's not the Muslim community, it's the Jewish community that has seen the majority of this increase. The New York Times reported back in October of last year that there have been four times as many crimes motivated by bias against Jews, 142 in all. Again, there have been four times as many crimes as there have been against blacks. Four times as many against the Jewish communities in New York as have been committed against blacks. Hate crimes against Jews have outnumbered hate crimes targeting at transgender people by a factor of 20. Now, I would take the opportunity right here to add some simple math to that equation, and that is, despite what media would have us believe, the transgender community is actually so small a percentage, it actually makes sense. I mean, in New York, there are not a particularly large number of transgender people living anywhere. So a factor of 20 there seems reasonable when you take into account the total numbers of each group. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that the media has paid no attention to this. These stats have received zero media attention. I mean, less than zero if you look at what they did for Smollett. So the question is why, right? Well, we already know the answer. The answer is because, as the Times has also admitted back in October, anti-Semitism bypasses consideration as a serious problem in New York because it refuses to conform to an easy narrative in Simple Boys and Girls. It just doesn't fit the narrative. In fact, the narrative that the left wants to push is that America is deeply discriminatory and bigoted, rife with hate. But when you look at the stats, Jews are by far the most likely group to be targeted in America on a per capita basis. This is a problem for the intersectionality-oriented left, which of course sees Jews not as victims, but as part of the power hierarchy in the United States. How can the left uphold its hierarchy of victimhood if Jews are the chief targets of hate crime? And besides, if such hate crime is largely perpetrated by non-white supremacists, people who supposedly lie higher on the victim hierarchy on the intersectionality coalition pyramid, narrative either does it. Beyond that, Jews are inordinately successful and well-treated in the United States outside of Israel. There is no more pro-Semitic country on earth. If you're not in Israel, but you're a member of the Jewish tribes, then you want to be in the United States. However, the most statistically victimized group in America is still those Jewish people. And there aren't What does all of this say, however, about the narrative? You know, the narrative that America is racist, bigoted, just filled with hateful white supremacists. The narrative kind of just falls apart, doesn't it? At the end of the day, the United States is an amazing place, but the media and much of the left don't like that narrative. They don't want you thinking this is a place where you can be successful. They don't want you thinking that this is a chance where you got a shot to make it based on your own ability and own determination. No, that's not a story they want to tell because that's far away from them. So that's why they cover Jesse Smollett, and that's why they won't cover Jews being attacked on the streets of New York. I'm going to try to run it along to see if I can fill this time for those of you that are here. If you guys want to hang out, I certainly appreciate it, but otherwise, I also understand if you've got to go. You know, I have not done a couple of things that I need to do, so I'm going to hit right here in this last 60 seconds of live airtime. We're going to do the Edwards Notebook and the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. And then I'm going to try to do a little overtime. So stay with me if you can.
The United States of America is at an important crossroads. Hopefully, the road she ultimately chooses is life. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, the United States has been called the land of the free and home of the brave. But in order for the United States to remain free, she must once again be a nation that seeks the moral high ground, which includes providential guidance and wisdom. The unique American experiment, or constitutionally limited republic, can only remain successful as long as we strive to live by and teach our children to work, to maintain our unalienable rights through proper self-governance, and being ever vigilant against government efforts to thwart our liberties through indoctrination in government schools, overzealous wealth confiscation, and reestablish the traditional family as an important pillar of society. Also, America cannot expect to remain a republic of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness if she continues to promote the death of unborn and newborn babies. America, you are at an important crossroads. I would that you choose life. If not,
forget about it.
I'm Ron Edwards. Join me Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on AmericaMatters.us and 12 a.m. Sundays on Talk America Radio Network.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for Soldiers.us, Veterans Tip of the Day. How do you know if you're getting the best medication when you're sick? Did you know that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, reported recently that between 20% and 50% of all antibiotics prescribed in acute care hospitals are either unnecessary or inappropriate? The misuse of antibiotics has also contributed to the growing problem of antibiotic resistance, which has become one of the most serious and growing threats to public health in the United States. Here is your Songs and Stories for Soldiers tip of the day. Medicare and Medicaid have started a new policy called the Antibiotic Stewardship Program. The result is that hospitals, nursing homes, and other healthcare facilities must test you to make sure you're getting the right medication. The cost of the test is covered by Medicare. So go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us for more information about this important service. This has been your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am back for just a few more moments. Thanks for being here. I certainly do appreciate it. That last tune, of course, is Using Both Hands from Matt Fitzgibbons. Please check out patriotmusic.com whenever you get the chance. Most folks have cleared out of the chat room, but Chief is still hanging out with me. And, so there's still some live audio, so we'll run it out as long as we can. BTR owes me about 15 minutes. We'll see if they'll give it to me. At any rate, I want to remind everyone, please go to Red Wave America and go check out ReaganBabe.com as well. That, of course, two of the sites most closely associated with today's guest, Miss Megan Barth. And, you know, it's always a quick hit with Megan because she's so very busy. But she was, of course, still kind enough to get in here and talk to us for a few minutes. And I greatly appreciate it. A little programming information for those of you who do listen live. Some of the upcoming things we've got going on for Wednesday night show, I have once again scheduled two guests. We have Dr. Marty Nemko. We'll be talking about why certain folks like AOC is cheering about Amazon deciding not to go to New York. And then in the second hour, I'm scheduled to be joined by Dr. Robert Cohen, who is an MD and a former Army colonel. We're going to be talking about the outbreak in measles out west and why it is that the anti-vaccine folks may be parting a pretty big role in why this is spreading. Upcoming down the road, Dr. Paul Nathanson is scheduled to join us again. We'll be discussing why USA Powerlifting has decided to put a ban on transgenders. A little bit later in the month also, well, actually next month, we're scheduled with Dr. Warren Farrell coming back on the show. We'll be discussing the recent anniversary of the Parkland shooting. We'll be almost a month removed from the anniversary, but we'll talk about that. And like I mentioned earlier, on Tuesday, March 12th, I'm scheduled to be joined by Victor Davis Hanson. We'll be talking about his new books, which will be hitting just a few days before that date, The Case for Trump. In order to accommodate that, we'll be going an hour early. So we'll do that from there. Anyway, I don't have a whole lot of time left to go into another topic. So I'm going to continue to kind of play off a little bit on the topic that I was going on before I took that little break to make sure that I got the Edwards Notebook and the Songs and Stories Veterans Tip of the Day in there. We continue to fall victim to this narrative. And as long as we let the mainstream media to define what the narrative is, what America's story is, then it's going to continue to be a story of hate. It's going to be a story of bigoted people who built this country on the backs of slaves. It's going to be the story of white power and white supremacy. It's going to be the story of men keeping women away from the rings and controls of power. It's going to be the worst possible story that they can share. That's what the story is going to be as long as we let them control the narrative. But the problem is with their narrative is it's not a true story. They take the worst examples from our past. They take the worst examples from our history, and they try to play that up like that's the whole story. They take half-truths, misnomers, and outright lies and try and perpetrate that to the American public as if it's completely truth. We are victims every single day. You and I are victims every single day. We're victims of a leftist agenda being forced through our public school system and through our universities and colleges. We have universities right at Princeton. I'll be touching on this on tomorrow night's show in more depth, but Princeton actually had a work day, a job fair designed to help undocumented to find work. Now, since you can't legally hire an undocumented, that does kind of get in the way of legally doing what you're supposed to do. We have to take our story back. We have to make sure that the narrative that's being told is a true narrative, a real narrative. The truth about the founding of this country, the truth about the evolution of this country, and the truth about the intentions of the founders and the framers at the time. These are not racist people who were slave owners. These were people who believed in individual liberties and put in place the tools that would lead to the end of slavery, knowing and understanding they weren't in a position to end it within their time. This is the story of America. This is the story that must be told. We must continue to speak truth. We must continue to stand up and to make sure that we are heard when we discuss, when we tell, when we make certain that the facts are all heard. Is America a perfect nation? No. But it's a hell of a lot better than what these leftist morons who want you to embrace socialism would have you to believe. It's a hell of a lot better than what these Black Lives Matter terrorists would have you to believe. It's a hell of a lot better than these terrorist supporting care members would have you believe. We are not a nation built on bigotry. We are not a nation built on hatred. And we are not a nation built on the notion that we want liberty, but only for the white men. It's a false narrative. We must tell the true narrative. We must make sure that it is clear, plain and simple, and right front and center. This is America. She's not perfect, but she is still that shining city on the hill. She is still an example to the world. She is still the place where you can go and you can, based on your own efforts and your willingness to roll up your sleeves and your willingness to get dirty if that's what you have to do, where you can succeed on your own merit. It's hard and it seems unobtainable, but it is still the America we live in even today, even with Democrats that are constantly trying to move governmental obstacles in your way, people trying to prevent you from achieving these things. It is possible. It is real America. So today we talked about a tale of two hate crimes. One was fake. One was a hoax. One was the narrative. The other, it's part of a pattern that's been ongoing in New York and in other communities across this country for some time now. The rise of anti-Semitism across the world is catching a fever pitch. Is there hate in the world? Yes. But the majority of hate in the world isn't perpetrated by, isn't perpetrated by Christians. It isn't perpetrated by conservatives. It's perpetrated by the very leftists who want to virtue signal, by the very people who want to tell us to be tolerant and inclusive, yet have no room for tolerance in their own world, have no room to be inclusive in their worldview. And make no mistake about it, for those of you who may not be anti-Semitic but don't really care so much because it's, you know, happening to the Jews, it's not happening to me. Well, think about it. Because who's next? The Mormons? The Baptists? The Seventh-day Adventists? I don't know who will be next. But I can tell you with a certainty there will be someone who's next. Now is the time to stand with these people. Now is the time to stand for what's right. Now is the time to push back against the media and to push back against the left. If not now, when? I know you've heard that before. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think I am going to leave it right about there. I'm going to remind you first, though. Don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort, and more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. Chief says the Wiccans. The Wiccans are next. At any rate, thanks for being here. Chief, thanks for staying with me through the extra run later. Hope the other guys will check out the remainder in archives. And that's going to have to be where we're at. Don't forget to check me out again live tomorrow night. And if you're listening to KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority, thank you very much for listening as I bring a little East Tennessee flavor your way. Let me remind you again to please check out PatriotMusic.com when you get a chance. This is once again Mr. Matt Fitzgibbons. And it seems appropriate considering the weather throughout most of the country. This is the rain is coming. Thanks for being here, Chief. Thanks for everybody who was here earlier. And thanks to Megan Barth for joining us. I'm out.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, and you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt. But there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings the storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you hear the thunder roll, the lightning's begun, the puddles will come to wash out the things that remain. Storm on you, because the rain.